Welcome to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program with your host, Tony Peters. I hope you'll enjoy today's segment. Well, welcome to Cool Explorations. I am your host, Tony Peters. Today we are here with Carice Meyer, and she has a book, Suffering Redeemed. And we're going to discuss that book as well as her testimony and a couple key verses, 1 Timothy 1:7 and Romans 8. So you have all that to look forward to. And without further ado, why don't we let you introduce yourself? Just tell us a little about who you are.
Sure. Yeah, so my name is Carice Meyer, and I live in Northern Virginia with my husband and four children. My husband's in the military, so we've moved a lot over the years, but it's been a blessing to meet a lot of people and go where God sends us. So I have been a stay-at-home mom for the last 12 years raising my kids, but also do writing and freelance writing. Wrote a book last year, put that out, and then have a master's in counseling. So also have done some counseling here and there over the years. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I was raised in a Christian home, so had the blessing of knowing Jesus since an early age. And that's the most important thing of my life, and my identity is being a child of God.
Yeah, and I think that is an important thing a lot of people miss when they try and introduce themselves, is the fact that God is such a key component in their identity. I loved what the Kendrick brothers put in one of their last movies here, which was they had one of the characters say that's how they should have introduced themselves, was saying that they are a Christian. They missed that in their intro, and I'm like, that is a good point. And when you introduce yourself, that should be in there. So I do want to thank you and your husband for your service, as I think that is so underappreciated in our society, is the work of those fighting for our freedom. So thank you and your family for that. And it isn't just your husband, it is you as well, because it takes two in order to support when you're married. So appreciate that. Why don't you share with us your testimony? You said you were born into a Christian home, became a Christian at a young age. What does that walk with God look like for you?
Yeah, so my parents are missionaries, so we moved around quite a bit. We're overseas, back and forth. So there was blessings and hardships in that. But I think it, in a way, it prepared me for military life. But yeah, I mean, I remember as a young child receiving Jesus and believing in Jesus, I always felt very close to God. But I think, it, you know, a lot of it was driven by things that I should do and shouldn't do. I felt I had a very strong conscience as a child and morality, but again, it felt more self-driven. And then in high school, I had a few years where I was trying to fit in, trying to explore the world, trying to figure out, you know, if the world was better than, you know, other things I experienced. And my freshman year of college, towards the end of the year, I remember laying in bed one night and just God just really spoke to my heart and said, Carice, you need to be all in, basically. Like you're kind of got one foot in and one foot in the world and trying to do everything. And so I took a year off and went to Costa Rica, Bible school down there for a year. I knew some Spanish, but went into Spanish immersion school and also Bible school and kind of a missionary training. And that was really life changing for me. It was a year where I grew a lot in growing how to live by the power of the Holy Spirit and how to submit, you know, every part of my life to Jesus and really the joy of walking with Jesus. It's not about rules. It's not about going to church. It's not a thing you do on Sunday. It's, which I wouldn't have said that then, but I think learning how to live in submission and by the power of the Spirit and and the joy that the Lord gives us, that year was really, really transformative in many ways for me. So that, and then I came back, finished college, and I won't go on too much more of that, but that's kind of were the early years of my walk with Jesus.
Yeah. And I think, the falling away in the teenage years, that kind of is a common theme for those who become Christians as young people, as it was in my life too. Just because, yeah, we have to figure out that we're supposed to be, not of the world, mm-hmm. or in the world. We're supposed to be of heavenly things. So we can be living within the world, but that can't be what identifies us, like the flesh. And so that's just something, like you say, formative years, you got to figure that out and where Christianity for you fits. Because really our life should fit into Christianity, instead of fitting it in. But as a teenager, you need to be able to figure that out. And, which mm-hmm. is why last episode we were discussing discipleship and, the importance of that. And I think that's something that really helps young people figure things out. And as missionary parents, you had at least a great guidance there from your mm-hmm. your parents, and a good role model there, which is something a lot of young people lack these days, is good role models to right. follow.
Yeah, I actually listened to that podcast on discipleship this morning, because just wanted to get a feel for the show, and I was so blessed by it. I think it is like, as you said, is very much lacking in the church, and it's something that my husband and I have really been fighting for and trying to get incorporated more as a part of Christian life, you know, that should just naturally be happening. So anyways, I appreciated that.
Well, and as parents, that's something we need to be instilling with our children. Mm-hmm. And working with them so they get that good foundation, so they can be prepared, and they can make the proper decision. I know, even becoming a Christian as like a 4.5-year-old for myself, it was like, okay, did it mean something beyond this is something my parents want me to do at that age? Mm-hmm. So it became that battle. And then, of course, as I got older, then I recommitted my life to Christ, actually at several different points. And at points when it actually, like, now it means something, I understand it. Mm-hmm. So I think that is important to give them that foundation. You've gone through some trying times. I know you've said, you've mentioned in your book, how is that suffering helped in your relationship with God, as God does build us up through our trials?
Definitely. Yeah, there's many ways. I think one of the things which anybody could say, probably in times of affliction, is that it really has drawn me into a deeper relationship with Jesus, and just recognizing my need, my desperation. I think when we are in suffering, it kind of brings out, it can bring out the worst in us. It can reveal things that we normally wouldn't maybe have to deal with. And so, and just a humility, you know, to recognize, wow, I'm weak. I don't have what I think I need. And I need God. You know, I feel the desperation. I have felt, and I still continue to feel the desperation for God. And for me, it's been illness, chronic illness, and in different times of being hospitalized, and just being at a very, and even causing some emotional and mental, like, depression and anxiety through the things I've experienced physically. But learning how to relate to God, and the Psalms honestly have been so helpful for me, and learning how to relate to God in a very real and honest and raw way, and at the same time acknowledging trust and faith and praising God amidst whatever is going on in life. So I said that's one thing, is just the depth and the intimacy that I have grown because of affliction. And that's not, it's not going to always happen, right? Some people, because of affliction, turn away from God. They're like, we can't, I can't handle what God is allowing in my life. And so I'm going to turn this way instead of towards him, which I think we constantly have that opportunity. Then God in his grace continues to open that door for us and pursue us. And the other, another thing, I mean, there's so many things I'm going to share, but the other thing I'll share is that where Paul talks about in Philippians 3, you know, considering all things a loss compared to knowing Jesus. And when things are stripped in our lives, for me, it has been my health, and along with that, other things that I have enjoyed in the past that I can't enjoy anymore. And again, there's this opportunity to say, okay, God, I can't enjoy this, but you are the ultimate good, right? You are the greatest good that I could ever experience in this life. And when we are distracted by other things, we don't always turn to God. We don't, it's easy to be distracted by the good gifts God gives us and miss the best that he is in our lives. And so I think learning to choose God and to believe that his steadfast love is better than life, and that anything else that we could have in this life is a gift that comes in our suffering or in pain or in affliction, when things maybe we didn't choose to give up or choose to surrender are suddenly taken from us. And it's a process, I think, but God, again, that's a grace and a mercy of God in my life, that he's shown me his goodness, and that I've tasted and seen that he is good and that he is the best. And that's a journey I'm still on, but.
Yeah. And I think oftentimes when people end up turning away, they turn away at the point where God was just about to give a blessing. It's, mm-hmm. it's like you're almost through it, and then you just give up. And I like when you say God does pursue you, because you can see that with Jonah is a perfect example. He was trying to flee what God was trying to do through him, and the amazing work that God was trying to do through him, and yet God pursued him and brought him to the point where it's like, okay, I'm going to begrudgingly do this, but then look at all the blessings that ended up happening because he ended up doing what God wanted him to do in the end. And as a result, a whole city was saved, which, of course, right, led to generations. So it's amazing to just think that, you know, no matter what we're going through, even if we do turn away from God, he is pursuing us. We're still children of God, and he wants us to follow him. He loves us. And yes, we go through trials, and people blame God for those trials. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that we're all sinners. And despite mm-hmm. what people want in this world, there is consequences to our actions and to our sins. Sadly, health is one of those things that I'm very familiar with in terms of those struggles. So I understand your hospital stuff. Sadly, our paramedics here know my house, so they're very 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 familiar with me, which can be kind of a good thing too, because then when they're familiar with my backstory, so they. Mm. They'll understand a little bit more about what's going on. But yeah, God has been there through everything and has always supported me and been there for me. Has always just provided at times when it was like, I needed that at that moment, and he'll mm-hmm. provide it, or get somebody will send me a message and it'll be like, you have no idea just how important that message was at this exact moment. And that's God knowing our needs. So I'm glad that you brought that up. And you ended up writing your book, Suffering Redeemed. Can you want to tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind that book, as well as tell us a little bit about the book and where we can find that book?
Sure. So it's not a normally written book. I never thought I would write a book. I never really intended to. But about 5 years ago, God just spoke to my heart. It was in the middle of the night, actually. And it was just one of those times where so out of the blue, but it was so clear, it was from God. And he just told me to start writing. And at that time, I was in a very low point physically. I'd just been diagnosed with a new nerve nerve problem that was very dip it was causing a lot of pain, and to the point where I couldn't walk. And so I was like, really, God, write? Like, you want me to write about what? About how terrible this is? And so I just kind of put it off for a while. But he kept prodding my heart. And so I just started kind of journaling, processing what God was doing in me, questions I was struggling with, versus he would show me how he was speaking to me, trying to process the pain, trying to, you know, ask questions and then find answers. And basically just kind of internal processing through writing. And so then after probably a year or two, I started a Facebook group called Suffering Well, and just extending some of the things that God was working through me, and reaching out to other people. And then I started a blog just because I saw what a need it was, you know, in the midst of pain. I think our tendency normally is to withdraw or to cover it up or to try to face it alone, which is what I did for many years. But people are just hungry for that, for good news, or hungry for hope and for companionship. And so at the beginning of last year, then, I once again was just praying and felt the Lord lead me to put a lot of what I had written into a book. And so it's interesting because when I was writing this content, I didn't have in mind that I'd be sharing it publicly. It was more for my own, well, out of obedience, but also just really seeing how God was blessing me through it. And so it was a struggle at first to kind of let that go and to let the vulnerability that I had, you know, processed, be out there. But it was also a blessing. I've just seen how God has used that to just open doors in so many ways where I probably wouldn't have naturally done that on my own. So the book is really, like I said, it is a lot of my own processing and struggling. It's so my issue of, like I shared, was more chronic illness, but it's very broad in how do we relate to God? How do we live in hope when our lives are not following the course that we thought they would be? You know, how do we find purpose in our pain? How do we keep going when life feels too hard? How do we connect to God? How do we use the things that we are going through and love others through it? How to be a witness? And just a lot of topics that honestly I needed to know and needed to process in order to keep going. Because in the first few years of this, I was like, oh, you know, I'll get through this and then I'll get back to my normal life and it'll be fine. And then when I realized that things weren't changing, I was like, okay, I've got to learn how to live like this. And I want to do this well. I don't want to just try to get through the day, which I felt like most days I was doing. Like, how do I just survive this day? And it really felt like each day I was dying more, you know, and which, I mean, I know literally we are dying every day more, but to be renewed day by day, like 2 Corinthians 4 says, what does that look like? And how do we do that as Christians? And so that's kind of an overview of the book.
Yeah. And it is hard when you're in the moment to push through those. I know even when I first realized that, first mine started out with a heart condition, that the two heart procedures I had, and to fix that problem, which thankfully I don't have a heart condition anymore. I'm very grateful for that. But those procedures ended up causing so much scar tissue that it triggered fibromyalgia to develop within my body. And so now it's a chronic thing. I'm going to be dealing with the pain all the time. And so, yeah, at first it was a lot of anger for myself. Mm-hmm. And just even when you're in your worst pain days, there's like depression just hits you and you just feel so sorry for yourself. And then you really just have to get back to that praise, as you'd mentioned praise before, just praising God, even in those storms. And, you know, it does actually help you feel a lot better when you get into those moments of praise. And it's not an easy thing to do or to learn to praise God even in the storms and the trials, but it is something that is very healing and therapeutic, and realizing that, you know, I'm not in this alone. Thankfully for myself, I've got my wife, and my kids are very supportive as well. My son has health problems too, so he understands a lot of the stuff I'm going through now. But we support each other, and it's drawn us together as a family to be like, you know, we have to support each other. And God has given us those gifts of family, or friends. Mm-hmm. And so just being like, yeah, God is there. Even in these times, God's getting me through. He's drawing us through. And I think that really read through quite well on the pages of your book from when I was reading. And you've kind of talked about a lot of that growth. Are there any other areas where God's really helped you grow as a result of these storms, whether it's in your Christian life or in your personal life?
Great question. So I think speaking, there's a Psalm 116:10 says, I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. And then Paul also quotes that in 2 Corinthians 4, but just this idea of saying, okay, I am greatly afflicted right now, but I'm going to keep speaking in faith. I'm going to keep trusting God, even though I didn't always feel it. I knew the truth is stronger than my feelings. And I know God and who he is and his character. I can always rely on that, right? Versus like what is actually happening in my life or how I perceive things are going. So I think one of the things is continuing to speak the truth, continuing to even reach out to others, even when I don't feel like I have it all together. I think I felt inadequate because I didn't feel like, oh, I don't have this all figured out yet. So I got to wait until that happens before I can reach out and serve or love others, which is why I think it was so hard in that my lowest point is when God told me to start doing this, like more publicly, you know, reaching out and kind of putting myself out there and just realizing that that's what God does, right? It's in our weakness that he is strong. He doesn't want us to be all like, oh, I've got it all together, so now he can use me. Like, it's obviously not true, because most people in the Bible, he chooses interesting characters. So, so I think, you know, that is one thing I've really had to grow in, and just trusting what God says versus what I feel or just what I think about myself, my, you know, insecurities or whatever it may be. And just following through with his promises. I think he's given me so many promises over the years, which the Bible is, it's just so rich with promises. I think that we neglect and don't use to live our lives like God wants us to. And so I think that's one of the things that in writing and in getting more grounded in the word, I have had to learn how to use those promises to just keep hope, right? To realize that every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And that is how our lives are different, because we have eternity to look forward to. If we hoped only in, like Paul said, if we hoped only in this life, like we would be most pitied beyond, you know, because we don't live according to what the world values. It's a completely different value system. So just that perspective of having the perspective that God wants us to have and growing in that is something that I'm trying to continue to grow in. And a lot of that is just by keeping the promises of God ever before me and memorizing them. And
yeah. And God uses our imperfections. It's amazing. When, like you say, so many people in the Bible, I mean, there's Ruth, there's Zacchaeus, there's the Marthas or Martha and the Marys. Like, none of these people had it together, But God used them. And I love actually the character of Ruth in the Bible because, she was going through so much. She was barely scraping by, barely putting food on the table. And yet she becomes this like powerful figure in the Bible that's just like, this is an example of even in our struggles, God still did provide and God brought blessings through them. So I love characters like that in the Bible and Zacchaeus, the tax collector. It's like so imperfect. And yet God recognized him out of all the crowd, recognizes this guy and goes to eat at his house. And he got criticism, of course, from the Pharisees, but that they criticized any time that he would just be with the lowly people, like the people that were considered to be the lowest of the low. Those are the people God was with because those are the people who were able to have humility and recognize that they didn't have it all together. They weren't perfect the way they were. And yet we saw the rich man in the parable where it's like he asked God or asked Jesus, how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? And he's like, well, you have to give up all your riches and wasn't willing to do that. And it's like, well, poor people don't have to worry about that. People in some of their lowest don't have to worry about that because it's like they don't have as much to give up. And so they do choose to follow Christ. One thing that is hard is when it's putting Christ before your family, even. That's a tough call. But it is something we are also called to do. And it's just a reminder that even in those times, we do have Christ to fall back on. We have Christ that's guiding us. He's helping us through everything. And I think that is so evident through so many people in the Bible that it's just like God just is there. He's helping them. Sometimes we need to be humbled. Sometimes there's lessons to learn, and those lessons don't come easy. If life went smoothly and easily, we wouldn't have any reason to turn to God. Thank you for listening to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program. I hope that you've enjoyed today's segment, and I hope that you'll consider supporting us at Cool Explorations on Patreon, as well as you can shoot me an email at tpeters745@gmail.com if you'd like to support in other ways other than Patreon.